Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Welcome back, American Savages, to The Savage Truth. I am your host, Cicely Davis. Thank you so much for joining me again. Love doing this. Absolutely love what I do. Love your input and taking the time and making the decision to join me to hear my take on today's haps in this great U.S. of A. If you're brand new to the channel, I extend you a very heartfelt and warm welcome. Again, thank you for making the decision to join me. For those of you who are my ride or dies, those who tune in on a regular basis, you are the reason I do this every week. You make me enjoy this so very much, and I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. Now, whether you're new or returning, I have an ask, and it is always this: to please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And let's get into it. There's always something going on, which makes my job so ultimately fun. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but a 19-year-old college student, a 19-year-old college student has been arrested in connection to the Kansas City Tesla dealership fire. Folks, we need to have a serious conversation about what's happening on our college campuses, what's happening to Tesla dealerships across the country and around the world, actually, and in the minds of some of these young people. Okay. A 19-year-old college student from Boston, you heard that right. Yes, Boston, was just arrested by federal authorities for allegedly firebombing a Tesla dealership in Kansas City during his spring break. Now, I've been on spring break before, and I can tell you I've thought of getting into a whole lot of trouble, but none of it resembled anything like throwing or bombing a car dealership. Okay, there's a whole lot of ways to get in trouble on spring break. You know, maybe he needs some consultation. Yes, but you heard that right. This wasn't some petty vandalism or a stupid prank. This was a Molotov cocktail launched at private property. Okay, let's keep the savage truth about what that is. A Cybertruck was set ablaze and another unexploded device was found nearby. And what does that tell you? What does that mean? What does that tell you? That this was deliberate. Okay, that this was planned. This was the option. This is what, you know, was planned upon, right? Someone actually thought this out. This was calculated. And it's exactly the kind of dangerous radical behavior that's festering under the surface and too many corners of this country. Rick, go ahead and show the video.
Well, the FBI says that Owen McIntyre used two Molotov cocktails and destroyed more than $200,000 worth of equipment here at the Tesla Center, including two Tesla Cybertrucks. Those documents continue to say that McIntyre is a college student in Boston. He was here on spring break back in Kansas City. Authorities found security camera footage that shows McIntyre parking his car a short walk away from the Tesla dealership here. The FBI then says McIntyre lit two Molotov cocktails and threw them at the trucks. The attack damaged those two Cybertrucks as well as two charging stations here. Agents were able to match the license plate on that car to McIntyre's family, and they also tracked his cell phone, social media activity, and flight records, and arrested him today in Boston. Now, I want to show you the statement from U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi on the arrest. She says, "Let me be extremely clear to anyone who still wants to firebomb a Tesla property. You will not evade us. You will be arrested. You will be prosecuted."
Now, let's talk about what this really means, okay? Because Tesla, regardless of how you feel about Elon Musk or electric cars, and I personally love the guy, I think he's an absolute genius, and he is, Elon Musk represents free enterprise, okay? It represents innovation, Tesla does. It represents competition and job creation. And someone tried to burn that down. There are people out there literally trying to diminish this, to burn it down, to do away with it. They hate it, literally. We've seen this growing trend where violence is being used as a political or ideological tool, certainly from the left, okay? This is a part of who they are. It's literally a part of their DNA. And make no mistakes, it's often coming from the left fringe, okay? A college student from a progressive city like Boston targeting a company often associated with center-right values and free speech? Yeah, it's not hard to read between the lines. Now, Tesla in itself is just a company, right, that provides amazing cars with amazing technology. It's not right, it's not left, it's not Republican, it's not Democrat. They're just a car dealership, right? Americans who believe in the Constitution and limited government, of course, they're after those kind of companies if they feel that they are supportive of that. This should be a wake-up call, not just for conservatives, but also for independents who care about law and order. If you're a Democrat and you care about law and order, this should be a wake-up call for you. If we all allow this kind of extremism to go unchecked, especially when it's cloaked in academia or activism, we're going to lose the fabric that holds this country together. And so, by all means, it's time to push back, folks. It's time to demand accountability. Now, we have the Kash Patel out there doing his thing, right? Closing in and catching this kid. And he will, like he said, find others. Okay. So you probably should just turn yourself in because you got Kash Patel on the case. And I'm telling you, he's going to find you. But this is about time for us, like I said, to start demanding accountability, not just from the individuals who commit these crimes, but from the institutions that are failing to teach responsibility, failing to teach respect for property. You know what? We need to hold these parents accountable as well, even though he was an adult. Okay, but make sure this is being taught in the home. Respect for property and basic decency. The silent majority needs to speak up before it's drowned out by the sound of sirens and breaking glass. Okay, so on to a news story. We're going to go to New York, my home state. As you know, state that I was born. Mayor Eric Adams, to which I would never, ever, if I lived there currently, be proud of. Okay, but I'm not doing any better here with Tampon Tim, but need I regress? Okay, Mayor Eric Adams. Now, here's something you don't hear every day coming out of New York City. A Democrat mayor showing a little backbone and a whole lot of common sense. Mayor Eric Adams is who I'm referring to, okay? On My View with Lara Trump, where he said he's ready to work with President Donald J. Trump out of respect for the office and for the sake of the people of New York City. Now, hey, I'm all about laying down to the Don, not because he's, you know, some God or anything. I know who my God is. I'm saying that Donald Trump clearly has the what's best for America at his heart. OK, this is his agenda and same with his entire cabinet. And you should acquiesce. OK. Imagine that, an elected Democrat acknowledging that the presidency deserves respect no matter who holds it. I hope that there are many, many Democrats who have heard that, okay? Respecting the individual and the individual who holds it and the position. In today's political climate, that's particularly a revolutionary act. It's practically a revolutionary act. And let's be honest, this is a smart move by Eric Adams. Okay. Makes a lot of sense. New Yorkers are dealing with real problems. They're dealing with crime. They're dealing with illegal immigration, sky high costs of living. The time for political games are over. It's time to deliver results. You know what? Let's play the video.
You have a different view of the city when you put on a bulletproof vest for 22 years and you protected the children and families of the city. I see the byproduct of legislation and those who are want to go into their own corners. And most importantly, it's about respecting the office. People lose sight of that. You know, you don't all of a sudden become anti-American because the person you wanted to be president is not president. It's the office. When you don't respect the office, you're sending the wrong message. I respect the office. There's a president called President Trump. I'm going to work with that president to produce for the people of our city because I respect the office. That's the office, and that's the flag that Uncle Joe died in Vietnam for at 19 years old. So I'm not for those who are desecrating our flag, who are on our college campuses, radicalizing our children, who are being harmful to what this country stands for. I don't care what they say. This is the greatest country on the globe, and in God we trust.
Now, don't get me wrong. Okay, I've got my head on straight. This head in between these two shoulders is still smart. And, You know, I have a whole lot of common sense. This doesn't mean Adams has suddenly seen the light and switched parties. But what it does signal is that even Democrat leaders are starting to realize that Trump isn't the villain the media has been pushing for years. And the hate coming for Donald Trump out of New York in particular, I think, has extra fury. But you can't deny the results. During Trump's administration, we saw record low unemployment in his first administration. We saw rising wages. We saw a strong law enforcement support. In contrast, New York has been bleeding residents and businesses under progressive policies. Now, Adam knows that if he wants to keep his city afloat, it might just take working with someone who knows how to run things efficiently. And that is President Trump. President Trump knows what's best for America. He knows what's best for New York in particular. That's what leadership looks like. Not screaming on social media, but sitting down and getting to work, even with people you don't agree with 100%. And to all the independents out there listening, because I've learned that I have a strong independent audience, this is what bipartisanship should absolutely look like. Not phony photo ops or empty rhetoric, but genuine collaboration when it comes to the big stuff, the top, the high level stuff, okay? We don't have to agree on everything. We just simply don't. In fact, I think that if 100% of people agree 100% of the time, someone in the room is lying, okay? But we do have to agree on putting the American people first. Mayor Adams is showing that respecting the presidency and, yes, respecting Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, isn't anti-Democrat. It's pro-America, okay? It's pro-New Yorkers. It's being supportive of his constituency, right? It's being a good leader. And maybe, just maybe, if more officials followed that lead, particularly on the Democrat side, well, heck, even the deep state Republicans, we'd see a whole lot more progress and a lot less division. So let's be clear. We're not fooled into thinking Mayor Eric Adams is suddenly a fan of President Donald Trump, okay? I'm not fooled enough, and I'm sure you are not either. This isn't some political love story by any means. But what it is important here is that Adams recognizes the direction the wind is blowing. Get with the wind. Go Donald Trump's way. Get on that Trump train. New Yorkers are fed up with the crime. He should listen to his constituents. They are fed up with the crime. They're fed up with the spending and the lack of accountability. And while Adams may not wear a MAGA hat anytime soon, he's showing that he's willing to fall in line with an agenda that actually gets things done. And if he wants to get reelected, this is the way to go. Okay, that absolutely matters. After all, let's not forget, during this past election season, the majority of AOC's own district showed up in record numbers to support Donald Trump. That's not just a red wave. It's a wake-up call. It is a wake-up call. Americans want unity. Same with New Yorkers. Americans want strength, just like all New Yorkers, and they want results. And even a Democrat mayor in deep blue Smurf town, New York City, is willing to cooperate with Donald Trump. Maybe we're finally seeing the first signs of this country actually coming together under real leadership. And that is a savage truth. Now, had some things coming up about Joe Rogan. He's been in, he's made some comments recently that has been kind of inspiring to a lot of people. So on a recent episode of the Joe Rogan Experience, the podcaster, who is 57 years old, said he has given up drinking alcohol, which is a really great thing. Now, here's something worth raising a glass of water to. Yes, Joe Rogan, one of the most influential voices in modern media today, just announced he's giving up alcohol. Good for him. Now, on a recent episode of his show called The Joe Rogan Experience, he simply said, "I think I'm done," for no reason other than that it's just not good for you. Let me just let you hear it from him. Play the video.
No, I quit drinking.
I quit too.
When?
A month ago.
I knew that you weren't drinking.
Yeah,
but I didn't know.
Stop drinking.
I didn't know that it was a Yeah, I think I'm done. Yeah. For no reason, other than it's not good for you. I didn't have to. I enjoyed it. But the days after drinking were just too rough. And I'm like, what kind of a moron who takes so good care of his body is poisoning himself a couple of days a week for fun? You know, why am I doing that? And then I'm like, well, will I have the same amount of fun if I don't poison myself? Turns out, yes.
Exactly. Right.
Now, let's take a moment and appreciate the simplicity and the strength of that decision. In a culture that glorifies excess, like we have here in America, we're very idealistic, right? We love idols. We love excess, right? Rogan's move is a quiet but powerful stand for personal discipline, mental clarity, and taking responsibility for his own health, for your own health. That's important. This is a guy with massive reach, especially among young men, right? And instead of chasing the usual Hollywood hedonism, he's choosing to lead by example. And let's be honest, this kind of message matters now more than ever. In a time when so much of the left pushes victimhood, they push dependency and indulgence, here's someone saying, who is of massive influence, mind you, I don't need this. It's not helping me. It's not good for me. It's not good for my image. It's not good for my body. It's not good for my health. It doesn't reflect well for me as an individual, as a man, as a father, as a husband, right? As a citizen, as just an individual, as a high-ranking, highly viewed person in media. It's the kind of personal accountability we talk about on this show all the time. Whether you drink or not, the bigger takeaway is all about self-control and owning your decisions. Rogan's always been someone who defies the establishment, right? He asks the questions they won't, which is why his show is so successful. He challenges the narratives they protect. And now he's living that same principle in his personal life. That's the kind of influence this country needs more of. Way to go. Way to go, Joe Rogan. Love to see it. Okay, moving on. Because we are going to now hear from Kevin McCarthy. Let's watch the video. Hear what he has to say.
Former Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, is here now. Mr. Speaker, it's great to see you tonight. Let's start with, if we could, the mechanics of politics, sort of the behind-the-scenes stuff. Pretty unprecedented, is it not, for a DNC vice chair to talk about putting money towards primarying Democrats?
Unheard of. The DNC is supposed to unite the party, but what we're watching live is a civil war inside the Democratic Party, and they're fighting for new leadership, and this is what's going to happen. Remember, AOC did this exact same thing a couple years ago, and the party tried to shut her down when she would primary other members in Congress. But she raised the most money of any member in Congress in the last quarter. She's getting the biggest crowds. And this is what I predict. They're going to fight to see who becomes leader of this party. Right now, it's really AOC and Bernie Sanders. But this is what's going to happen. They're going to run against Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Nancy Pelosi, Schumer, and Joaquin. That will be a motivating factor.
So now we've got Kevin McCarthy coming out and saying what we've all known for a while, that Democrats are scrambling behind the scenes, trying to find new leadership like a bunch of hyenas circling a carcass. And honestly, who can blame them? I mean, think about what they have out there. Bernie, you got Booger, okay? You got Jasmine Crockett, you got AOC, Pocahontas, and what have you. It's real tough out there. Ilhan, the squad members. I mean, you know, it's tough, right? It's real skimpy. But Joe Biden is barely functioning as a figurehead. Kamala Harris is pulling somewhere between invisible and please, no thank you. And the rest of their so-called leadership looks like a game of liberal musical chairs where everyone's too afraid to sit down first, right? Everybody keeps circling and they actually won't take a seat. The music has stopped and no one will sit down. They know the clock is ticking. They absolutely know it. And with 2026 looming like a freight train, they're desperate, absolutely desperate to rebrand the same broken policies with a new spokesperson who can string a sentence together without a teleprompter and a nap. The problem is, because that's where their gap exists. Okay. Problem is, the bench is thin. It's way too thin. You got Gavin Newsom, a.k.a. the man who turned California into a dystopian tax experiment, hovering in the wings, acting like he's auditioning for president every time he slicks his hair back. Then there's the squad, always ready to jump in with ideas that sound like they were ripped from a freshman sociology textbook and run through a blender of Marxism. And let's not forget the DNC elite clinging to the Obama era nostalgia as if that ship didn't sail a whole decade ago. What they're really fighting over isn't just leadership. It's narrative control. They know their ideas are failing. They know they don't resonate with the American people. They know that they are tone deaf. People just aren't buying it. So they need a new mascot. They want to keep the same messages, keep the same policies, just repackage it and get a new mascot to sell the same stale product with shinier packaging. But here's the catch, folks. They just still don't get it. They are still tone deaf. The American people aren't looking for a fresh face to sell them more inflation, open borders, and weaponized agencies. They actually like the direction that the country is going under President Trump. They're looking for real leadership, and they have it. Strong, unapologetic, America first leadership. The kind we have with President Donald Trump and the kind we need to remain and be very successful in this next 4 years. Let the Democrats fight it out. Let them stay in their echo chamber while the rest of us focus on rebuilding this country, restoring common sense, and reminding Washington that it answers to us, we, the people, not Hollywood donors, not activist mobs, and definitely not whoever's trending on MSNBC or Twitter or TikTok or Instagram this week. And that, my friends, is the Savage Truth. Let's watch another episode of Savage Soldiers. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, to be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely. The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.